Well, I have my Bible. I trust that you have your Bible as well. And I want to welcome our live stream audience. I'm so grateful that you are here. I'm thrilled that you've made that effort to join us today, right here in the sanctuary. And the way that so many of you just let me know that you've been following, and some of you even in Italy, I'm grateful. And I want to get a shout out if you've joined us here today. I hope that you get a chance to take your notes. And for you who are here as well, I want to just say, if you don't mind, we have our, we call it our bulletin card, but make sure you get a chance to write down some notes. I'm going to be throwing out some scriptures, much more than are currently listed here. And we always trust that the Lord will speak to you. And one of the things about today's message, it really does coincide with our theme. Our theme, as you know, is the kingdom, then you, in 2022. You do kingdom principles, and there's something that is about God's word that the benefits, the rewards come. And so that's what we are addressing this day, to honor people, to esteem people, all people. You're going to find that God will benefit and reward you. Why would we want to honor all people? Well, as you know, who have benefited from the salvation that's found in Jesus, we know that God has paid the most expensive ransom for every human being. That alone would put on tremendous worth and value upon a human life. So we're taking a look at today's message, as you can see, is giving honor and esteem. That's our message today. Go ahead and get your writing elements as well. And heard a cute little story about a man who called up the church office, and the secretary answered, and he said, I'd like to speak to the head hog of the trough. And the secretary said, well, if you're referring to our pastor, we do not call him head hog of the trough. And he said, that's fine. I was just wanting to talk about donating $10,000 to the building fund. She said, would you hold on a moment? Porky just walked in the door. Maybe everything has a price, but we do want to honor people, do we not? And there's something that's significant. And if you were with us last Sunday, we had the privilege of really honoring and recognizing our peace officers. So grateful for Chaplain Doreen to lead us in that, and then even give a luncheon to our police department. If you saw, they put a note of thanks to Hope Chapel and to the community for their support to the police department. Even next weekend, we're going to be having that time and honor for those that we know have given their full measure of devotion to our nation, to the U.S. citizens, by just serving in the armed forces. So we call it Memorial Day. We're going to be Memorial Day weekend. But I think it's important for us today to recognize that all men are deserving of honor. And that's God's word. That's what I want you to be aware of and signal. It's important for us. I think your greatest grace and breakthroughs will come in your life when you realize I really can't distance myself from people. I need to display honor to some extent. And I want to start here because as you take a look on the screen, you can see some of these things will not be written down, but you can write them. The word honor in the Greek literally means to me, which literally definition is to value. We can break it down further, and it says valuable or precious, weighty, such as gold. That's valuable to me. Hey, you know that if something is valuable, you're not going to put it in a junk drawer. The other thing is it's appreciation, esteem, favorable regards, and respect. Now, that's important when we look at the element of honoring people. What does that look like? Because honor really is, the Greek definition means it's going to be displayed in action. It's going to be displayed in words, certainly in thought. I honor that person. But it all starts from the heart. And God knows. One significant passage, I'm going to open my Bible to Isaiah chapter 29, 13. You can write that down, but New Living Translation says this. God knew, said this. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. It's pretty sad, but the Lord sees everything. He knows everything, and it really is Him we want to just honor. Remember, it's action, but it originates in the heart. So if we dishonor someone, if we dishonor God, what does that look like? And this is what I found dishonor would define as: to treat as common, to treat as ordinary, and then finally, to not show respect or value at all. Just like, man, you mean nothing to me. I don't even want to show up. So it's important that we recognize that, because we're looking for, once again, giving honor and esteem. And what I'm wanting to maybe remind you, if you're waiting for breakthrough in your life, God sees how you honor people and honor Him, and that's important. I think there's rewards every time you and I obey and do what God's Word asks us to do. Saw a passage in 2 John chapter 8. I'm going to open my Bible to 2 John 8. You can see it there as well. You who are following us at home, thank you. Hang in there. Make sure there's no distractions. I believe God has a specific word in a specific location where you live, and you're going to see, I believe, some lifting off of that oppressiveness because of this message today. You know, when John, the apostle, is writing 2 John, he's 90 years of age. He's seen everything. And he writes this very clearly. He says, "Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward." Your full reward. Everybody say full reward. You know, that means we can get a partial reward or no reward. Be careful you do not, man, we work so hard, don't lose your full reward. That's important. So in dealing with that, it's like, why would God be interested in giving people a reward? And we're going to see the doctrine of rewards later on in this year, but it's important because God is a rewarder. I like the fact, too, I'll just lay that out, God introduces Himself as the rewarder or the big reward. But check it out in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram." He's speaking to Abraham now. "In a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward.'" I'm telling you, there's something about you and I, we look that God is really the ultimate gift. But with Him comes everything, that He is our exceedingly great reward. No small potato there. You want God in your life. You want to make sure you please Him. It's important. So how do rewards get shelled out? If the Apostle John is saying, man, be careful. Let's not lose what we work so hard for. Let's make sure we gain a full reward. I have a breakdown when it comes to honoring people. Let's just put it that way. When it comes to honoring people, I believe there are rewards that come to people. We'll see it now. We're going to see it, but check out the variables of rewards. You will notice on the overhead as well. First of all, there's full reward, and that would be given to those who value and respect others. Then there's a partial reward, and that's for those who are selective in how they esteem others. I'll just give them a little respect. I'm important, though. And then there's no reward that will come for those who treat God and His creation with indifference. Now, you know, God makes it very simple, very easy when He gives out the commands. We know that, and you can mark it down in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. He says, make sure this is it. This is the top two. There's no greater commandment but to love God and to love people like yourself. Love neighbors. You do those two, you're keeping everything. So let's lay out then now honoring those two categories, honoring God and then honoring people. Because if you see something today, say, man, I need to get my act together when it comes to engaging people. Let's look at point number one, honoring God. I'm going to Mark chapter 6, verse 1, and I list it as a prophet without honor. Jesus is going to receive no honor in His home setting. Have you ever turned back home and came home for the holidays and like, man, I wish I should have gotten at least the main master bedroom by now, but I just got still shelled out in the old camper shell. Who knows? But anyway, it's like, that's what's going to happen to Jesus. but we're talking honoring God. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Everybody say honor.
Honor.
That's what we're going for. Honoring God. What does that look like? Because we want to remind ourselves for people that God paid the most expensive ransom for every one of you. Everyone. Therefore, he must think a lot about you. And we just can't think that you are unimportant in his perspective. I need to at least honor everyone. And I know that's your heart's desire, but check it out. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus comes to his own hometown. And look what happens. It says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. And it's interesting, that term, isn't it? It's like, who does he think he is? He's just a carpenter, they all added, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. And they were deeply offended. Who does he think he is? And refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do, or we could say he could not do, any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Now, it's interesting, as we read the gospel text, he is going over and full-on miracles are happening in every other city, but he comes to his own hometown, and they are just having a hard time to give him any respect, no honor. And he says a prophet will receive honor everywhere except his own hometown and among his family. Now, what I find interesting, because if you're needing a breakthrough of a miracle in your life, you want to pay attention to when Jesus addresses something like this. Scripture says he could do any mighty miracles. Now, that's important for us. Now, I could understand if the Bible said he didn't want to do any miracles. He's sovereign. He's God. If he doesn't want to do something, hey, who are we to argue? But he could not. Why? Because they were looking at, and he says, I'm not receiving any honor, and therefore they don't even want to adhere or believe I am who I am. Because of that lack of honor to God, nothing's going to happen here, except he lays hands on a few people, and they get their headache healed, and maybe a back pain, or maybe some arthritis. But it is interesting to note, there's another portion in Luke's gospel, the same account, Luke chapter 16. Go ahead and write it down, verse 4, because it starts off with him in the synagogue. The whole town is right there. And he opens up the scrolls, which are the scriptures, and he opens to Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, and all these other miracles. What he was saying is, I am the Messiah. Ooh. Now, they were having a trouble with that one. And you can see here in our text in Mark, man, he's speaking like someone we've never heard before. Where did he get this ability to do these miracles? And they were still offended. They refused to give him any honor. So it is interesting, in that setting, the Jewish setting, they're looking for a Messiah. They're still thinking about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Remember that one? Where it comes along and it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government's going to be upon his shoulders. Man, he's going to be the Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom there'll be no end. Yeah, let's set us free from Roman rule. But this guy, hey, this guy, he was on Bobby's soccer team. This guy sat around our table. Who does he think he is? And you know, sometimes Christians can think that. Who is this Jesus this church culture is honoring? And we wonder why God doesn't break through. You know, the Lord is so kind We're reading, aren't we, in our annual Bible readers? Thank you for doing that. Hope you pick one up. We're going through the book of 1 Samuel. You probably saw chapter 2, verse 30. Write that one down. When God was just disappointed in the high priest Eli because he never fussed out his sons who are working the church. They're ripping off the offering. They're having sex with the women who are coming into the temple. Never got a hold of them. And God still said, "He who honors me, I will honor. And he who despises me, I will lightly esteem." God still wants to honor people. Isn't that amazing? Still does that. It's amazing. God is just such an honoring God. Probably why so many of us are still going so well. But I'm just saying, if you could just kind of bring it up to another level of honoring God, you're going to see some major breakthroughs. Major breakthroughs. So it's important here for us. I don't know if you've ever seen God send a rescue package to you. And you just didn't like the way it was coming. I refused. No way. Have you ever, like, no way. Come on. Remember the old Naaman the leper? He got ticked off. He's like, they're asking me to go dip in a muddy river called the Jordan. I refuse. He's upset. That could I've had that. It's like, I am not doing this. Could be something like even just worshiping God with true honor. No, I've got my dignity. I'm going to stay stoic. So we have to be just careful about that. Remember the Roman officer? Oh, what a story he was. That centurion, that story is found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, verse 10. He comes to Jesus. This guy's a big wheel in the Roman army. He said, "Jesus, could you come and basically heal my servant?" What a nice thing. Why does he just buy another servant? Like, "Hey, adios. Can you heal my servant?" Shows a genuine heart. And Jesus said, "I'll come." "No, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof." What? Honor. And Jesus says, "Whoa, this guy has what I'm looking for in all of Israel." An amazing thing. And naturally, his servant gets healed. So remember, the Greek definitions is displayed in action and in word and in thought, and it originates from the heart. God knows. We don't know what another man or woman thinks. God does. And therefore, I want to just encourage us. So honoring God, giving honor and esteem to God. You check out those Bible verses. I love Proverbs. With honor, or basically with fear and humility, with respect to God is another word. With that respect to God and humility are riches and honor and life. Oh, man, I love that. I believe that's true. It's all yours, and it starts with giving honor to God. How about then to our neighbor, honoring men? Point number two, honoring men. Three levels of human contact I found are listed right there when Jesus addresses rewards when you recognize people. And all three of these human contacts we come into, well, with our lives. Let's look here at Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew 10, verse 40, see what Jesus has to say here. "Anyone who receives you receives me. And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. And if you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same what?" The same what? The same reward as a prophet. "And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs." Then he comes along and says, "And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely," everybody say surely, "surely be rewarded." I'm telling you, that's straight up easy to understand, but there it is. Something about honoring men in these three levels of contact. You come across all of them. Let's break it down because this is important. Jesus uses the word prophet, righteous person, and the least, or one translation, the little ones. So I think it's going to be worth noting when I check out, and we're going to be taking a look probably in July about end time eschatology, you start seeing things. What is it going to be like when I arrive before the throne of God? And one is, in Matthew 25:40, you just could write that down too. And Jesus says, hey, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Now, we've heard that, but I think it's worth noting that the righteous around the throne in Matthew 25:37-38 saying, Lord, when did we do that to you? When did we do that to you? When did we actually see you naked and thirsty and hungry and in prison and visited you when you sick? Man, when you did it to anybody. It's amazing. It's amazing. God is up there like taking little notes. Yep, I'll remember that one when he gets up there. That's important. That scripture, that's D-Day when we arrive to that day. So let's look at here, letter A prophet. Honor those who are in authority over us. Let's break that down because we really do have four areas that all of us are under authority. That's important for us to recognize. Now, all authority is from God. We're going to go to Romans chapter 13. And it's important for us to recognize that because all authority comes from God. Now, remember, all authority comes from God, not behavior. That's important. Man, some authority is just mean and cruel. But we're talking all authority is from God. So let's look here for a moment. Bullet point number one is civil authority. Civil authority. If you can see that on your notes. And let's go to Romans 13, because this civil authority could be literally president, vice president, could be teachers, governors, your coach. But it's important here, because when we talk America, we want to understand that. I mean, democracy is wonderful for U.S. citizens. I like it. But if you think democracy is going to work with God in heaven, you and God will clash. Because, see, God's a king. He's not a facial king. He's not like somehow a form of a king like you have the king or queen of England. He's the real deal. And so when he says something in his word, we want to take notes. So here it is, Romans 13, and I'll go rather quickly because I find some people have never really seen the Bible laid out that way. But we're still to honor those who are in authority. Here we go. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course, you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but to also keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes. Now, when I read that, it's like, Pay your taxes. Two, for these same reasons, for government works, workers need to be paid, and they are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. So why do we pay our taxes? Well, they work for God. That's what I just read. They work for God. The authority is from God, not the behavior. Remember, you get any human being in any position without God, it becomes corrupted, can be. That's why you want God-fearing men and women in some form of a role. You want to have those people in your life They fear God. Therefore, they walk it out so much better. And it's important for us to see and to identify with that. I do find it's interesting. Our last Sunday, we had our speaker addressed, how many have had speeding tickets or traffic tickets? And there's a lot of hands. Mine went up. So the next time you see, you know, the blue and red flashing lights in your rearview mirror, don't rebuke the devil. Yeah, they work for God. You pray for mercy because you're going over 15 miles over the speed limit. It's important for us. I like what the Apostle Peter said during a very dark time in church history because Christians were being martyred. And he was addressing something about honoring the king. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll read that to you, because Herod Agrippa was the king at that time. And Peter says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. Whether the king is head of state or the officials, he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slave, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. Reason why that needed to be declared, kind of like I'm laying it out today for all of us, because King Agrippa, he was out there murdering Christians because he wanted some favors with the Jews who did not like Christians. But remember, you always want to look beyond the man and see the authority, all authorities from God. May the Lord give you wisdom. It's important. Let's go to the next group that we are under authority, and that's family, family authority. Ephesians chapter 6. Family authority here. Now, this is a command, not a suggestion. Notice the reward in this. It says so clearly, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, I like that, don't you? Now, check that out with me. This is important. Now, it doesn't just mean your physical father and mother. This could be spiritual moms and dads, too, and there are a number of them. And you might have a mom or a dad whose behavior is rank. It's not good. Doesn't mean you have to obey that kind of an individual, but you can still honor their position in your life. I honor you. I'm not going to obey you, but I sure honor who you are. That's a tough one, but it helps people that have been railroaded by people who usurp their place of authority. But I do like the promise, and that's why I want to press it. Promise is that it'll be well with you. You'll have a successful life and a long life. Who wouldn't want those two rewards? Who wouldn't want to be successful in their life? Who wouldn't want to have a long life? You honor your father and mother. You stand up one day and you say, I rebuke cancer. Get off of my body. I have honored my father and mother. Why not? That's a promise right here. It's important for us. I remember we do have a problem in our society. There's a lot of disrespect. It is blatant. It almost becomes popular. But one thing that's very troubling is the developmental structure to show disrespect to parents, especially when it comes to decisions for their children. I remember, Ainsley and I, we have three children. There would be times that she would say, we are not going to watch that family-friendly show. Well, why? We're all set. It's Friday night. It's movie night. The popcorn's ready. Because she knew that the children, who are the actors, actresses, they showed disrespect to the parents. And at the end of the movie, they got their bicycle. Yeah, we're not going to do that. They got their puppy dog. It's like, really? I would much rather have a movie with righteous killing, because it's in the Bible, right? Huh? And she wouldn't allow that either. But, I, you know, come on. What are we going to watch here today? So it's important that we take a look and see. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16, talks about the severity, the urgency of honoring mother and father. In Deuteronomy 27, 16, you can see right there, cursed is anyone who dishonors father or mother. And all the people will reply, amen. New King James translation says, shows contempt, disdain. So you know honoring the father and mother are the Ten Commandments. You take a look at that, Exodus 20, 22, following on through. You get a chance to see that. Now, if I were to put an order of importance besides making sure you put God first and no false idols, the order of importance I'd lay it out would be no murder, but no murder is number six. That's very serious, though. The other one is no stealing. That is definitely serious. That's number eight. Honoring your father and mother is number five. And then no adultery is number seven. That would be kind of like my order of importance. God says, no. Honoring your father and mother are more important to me, and it's more serious to keep that in the forefront than even murder and adultery. That's an important thing for us to recognize. If you, praise God you're not, but if you were in the devil's shoes and you wanted to destroy the next generation, besides abortion, to eradicate them before they have a chance, the next thing would be to show total disrespect for mom and dad, to have materials in the public school or have the school board bring in decisions to eliminate parental, really, priorities and preferences. You can imagine, why would that be so destructive? Well, you just saw, if you didn't want young people's lives to be successful and not to live long, you get them to hate mom and dad and say, I don't need to listen to you. So make sure we've got some voting coming on here. We're in a voting season. And it's important you pay attention to what's actually creeping into our school systems. Just want to throw that out there. So let's take a look at the third level of people over us. This would be social authority. This could be our bosses, be teachers, our coaches. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. In Ephesians, social authority that's over us says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. And as slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember, that's what we're bringing up today, that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Remember, it's just a good reminder, is it not? Social authority. We're all under somebody. And sometimes people want to be the leader, but they don't know how to follow. Let's go to third area, church authority. It's another area that we would be under. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says this, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. New King James says they deserve double honor. I think it's a good definition here, but double honor is the only place in Scripture double honor is given for those elders who serve the Word of God. Now, it's important to recognize this because contemporary English Bible says church leaders who do their job well deserve to be paid twice as much. Now, I'm not bringing this up as a presentation. I want you to know very clearly, Hope Chapel prospers, and I really do contribute it to not only the hand of God, but over our church council, our church board. Ainsley, my wife and I have been here 20 years, It's because not only has God continued to assign us here, but I got to let you know, because the decision of the leadership to make sure we're paid well, we're thanked, we're appreciated, it sure helps. Our children were brought up in this church. They had a good experience in church life. You're having a good experience in church life. That's important. It's important to me as a daddy, and it's important to me as a man of God. I have been a divisional superintendent, an area pastor, overseeing churches. I've been on the Foursquare Board of Directors, Foursquare Cabinet, on the Missions Committee for Foursquare. And I'll tell you, there's been many a settings I've gone and sat with pastors and say, can I please talk to your church board, your church council? I want to talk to them about making sure you don't suffer as a bivocational pastor. What we do to compensate you. I find that when the church starts to minimize, they always skim off the pastor's salary. And no wonder why those churches struggle. I just want to tell you that there's something in here that's very real. And our church council, in 20 years, there has been well over probably numerous council members, and they're always happy to have others come in to see that a council's run well. And I want to thank council, both current and past council members, because of that, church here has been able to prosper and bless our missionaries, bless our community, bring others in, have wonderful settings, great environment. And I really do believe it has much to do with double honor for those that serve the ministry. Thank you. Thank you. And you tell your friends, how well is your pastor being taken care of? October is pastor's appreciation in our nation. It is not an accident to recognize pastors and help others. Say, you need to help your pastor. Your church will probably start to flourish and become fruitful once again. Well, thank you. I just want to throw that out. You didn't have to thank me for that one either, buddy. Letter B, honor those who are on our level of authority. We're going to just hit these latter 2 points quickly, but I think it's self-defined, very clear. Remember back in Matthew 10:41, remember when he says, if you receive a righteous person, you're going to receive that righteous person's reward. We call that our peers. Our peers. Those are people that we could even literally say, maybe even our spouses, especially men, our wives, people that we work with that are our peers. But let's just say for our family setting, I like 1 Peter chapter 3, gentlemen, verse 7, says this, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Now, that is so clear. And I'm telling you, for your benefit, I want to treat my wife Ainsley well. So I pray for you quite a bit. I've had people come up and say, oh, Brother Paul, can I pray for you? I said, no, I don't want you to. Why? Because I know how you treat your wife, man, and heaven's not going to hear this one, dude. Yeah. Get it together at home, then we'll talk about you praying for me. I think the greatest reward comes for any one of us is when we honor people who dishonor us. I've got some of that going on in my neighborhood. It's kind of cool. That's where I kind of get a little bit of extra reward. I believe it. But check out what Jesus says in Matthew 5. We'll put that up there, verse 46. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. So it's important to recognize and to honor. And finally, letter C, honor those who are entrusted to your authority. We all have people that are above us. We have people we coexist with. And we have people who are under us. This could be little children in our home. This could be our employees. This could be fellow workers that we're in charge of as ministry operators and directors. This could be, again, maybe how you view it, your wife, maybe church members that you just know you want to honor. those who have been entrusted to you. People, if this is your first time here at Hope Chapel, I hope you've been treated well. I hope people took time to honor you as somebody that God paid the highest redemptive value for. It's important. You're important to God. So when we take a look here, could be everybody, even a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant. Some of you like eating out. I can tell some of you really like eating out. Amen. And you often say, wasn't the service great? It was great. Well, did you ask her name? Did you ask the waiter's name? Did you even take time out to see how's your day going? Who knows if you even had a chance to pray for them? Could have been a divine encounter. At least pay a good tip, right? Well, I pay my 10%. No, no, listen, it's now 15, 18%. Oh, 20%. Thank you. Yeah, don't lay out a $5 bill in a Hope Chapel church track. Oh, please, I'm embarrassed. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah. But see, honor people. Honor people who are serving you. I'll tell you, you're going to find things really come around in a unique way. It's important. It's kingdom principle. The kingdom, then you. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So because God ransomed every one of us, paid the highest expense, aren't we deserving of a little honor and esteem? Well, may the Lord bless you, and let's close our Bibles here. We're going to sing in a moment. I believe that maybe there could be a breakthrough for some of us, and especially you who are joining us online. Oh, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's have a change of heart if there's anybody that we just say, I refuse to give them any acknowledgement in my airspace. Do it as unto the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And we recognize today you sent somebody to our lives who spoke in loving manners because they knew we needed help, needed rescuing. We really were lost. And Lord, we cry out for people who are lost. We really do. Put it in our hearts to love once again people. People that we would view that as an unloving person. Lord, move on our hearts to see society the way you see. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.